Why we're not in the regular sermon series, but we will continue there next week. If you'd open your Bibles to the book of Psalm 119, that we see every January. While you're doing that, I'd like to welcome those of you that are just now joining us on YouTube. We appreciate you worshiping alongside with us in those extended pews there at the back. Keep your finger in Psalm 119, and let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Just a couple of books to the right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is quick, means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Keep going to the right to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, no utterance from God of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. We don't get to make up what it says. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now go back the other direction to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing. Faith is activated. Faith is put into operation when it comes in contact with the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith does not operate on anything or anybody other than the words of God. One more. Let's go to Psalms. You already have your finger there. Go to 19, and then we'll be in 119. I want you to get these opening scriptures to see how important God's word is. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. That's why the enemy hates this book and will do everything he can to keep you away from it And if he cannot keep you away from it, he will attempt to confuse you with it to where you close the book and say it's too hard to understand it. That's where the devil wants you, because a liar fears above all else the truth. So the truth will be attacked, and if that doesn't work, the truth will be counterfeited. Psalm 119 is a very unique chapter of God's Word. The subject of the entire chapter is the Bible itself. All 176 verses have some mention of the Word of God in one of 10 descriptions. We saw some of them in Psalm 19, such as law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, way, truth, and righteousness. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it follows the shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117, which says that the truth of the Lord endures forever. And also following the exact middle verse of the Bible, Psalm 118, verse 8, which says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Now there's 22 paragraphs or divisions of chapter 119, and each section is a stanza made up of 8 verses. Now you'll notice in your Bible there are either strange symbols or strange words at the beginning of each section. That's the Hebrew alphabet. And there's only 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet because there are no vowels. The pronunciation of the consonants are determined by 5 different sets of dots and dashes either below or beside the Hebrew letters. All 8 verses of each section begin with the letter of that alphabet on the top. For instance, verses 1 to 8 would begin with Aleph. So every verse would be start with the letter A. And then verses 9 to 16, Bet, every first letter of all 8 of those verses would start with the letter B. And it would go that way all the way through. It made it easier to memorize, and it made it easier to sing. Remember, these are psalms. This is the Hebrew songbook. So all of these psalms were put to music. And so the Hebrew children in singing would learn the alphabet. And also at the same time, they would learn these truths that they're memorizing and meditating on, one verse a day, twice a year. Under the Hebrew lunar calendar, you would go through the whole chapter twice a year, or in 2 semesters. In music, there are 7 tones or notes, C, D, E, F, G, A, and B. The 8th note in a scale, it repeats the first tone and is called an octave, an 8th. 8 tones higher or 8 tones lower. It's also progressive. It begins with David being a young man, and it advances in his age. It's really his journal of statements that he's made about God's Word, probably as he read it. Remember that one of the names of Jesus Christ in Revelation is Alpha and Omega. Those are 2 Greek letters, A and Z. The Holy Spirit is saying of Jesus that he is the alphabet A to Z. And a combination of those alphabets is what we put words together in order to communicate. So we communicate thoughts, we communicate ideas, we communicate knowledge and truth. that allows us to understand what someone else is saying. Jesus is the outward expression of the invisible God. To see him in these words by faith is to see the Father. Jesus said in Luke 24, "These words are they which testify of me." The living word is inseparable from the written word. They're one and the same. These words came from the very heart and mind of God, and it reveals his truth, his character, and his plan by the indwelling Holy Spirit, who bears witness with the truth that he authored. So the subject of Psalm 119 is the Word of God, or we could call it the ABCs of the praise, love, power, and use of the Word of God. I direct your attention to verse 105. It's the 14th paragraph. It's the 14th section. We saw in verses 1 to 8 in Aleph, we saw the Word of God is the source of happiness to those who walk by it. Verses 9 to 16 under Bet is the holiness to those who give heed to it. Verses 17 to 24, Gimel, we saw that the Word of God is truth to those whose eyes the Lord opens by His Spirit. Verses 25 to 32, Dalet, we saw that the Word of God is the law to those whose heart the Lord renews. Verses 33 to 40, we saw that the Word of God is a stabilizing force to those who apply themselves to it. Verses 41 to 48, Phal, the foundation of God's promised mercies. Verses 49 to 56, Tsain, a source of comfort during evil days. Verses 57 to 64, Keth describes for me my inheritance. Verses 65 to 72, Tet, a revelation of the goodness of God. Verses 73 to 80, Yod is right and produces an influence on others through us. Verses 81 to 88, Kaf is life so that it can be kept. Verses 89 to 96, Lamed is a settled and unchanged forever. And verses 97 to 104, Mem, the Word of God is sweeter than honey. Now in verses 105 to 112 is Nun. Nun. It corresponds to our English letter N. And it's, of course, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Which says, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is a man walking, first in the dark and then in the day. Were you ever afraid of the dark when you were little? Some of you still are. May I introduce you to a little boy named Billy. Billy was afraid of the dark. One evening, his dad told him to go out on the back porch and get the broom. But there's a problem with that. There was no light on the back porch. So Billy told his dad he just couldn't because it was so dark. In which his dad, jumping on the teaching opportunity, said, "Son, don't be afraid. Jesus is out there." So Billy walked to the back of the house. He went up to the back door. He stood there a minute, took a deep breath, And he opened the door about so wide. And he stuck his arm through the door. And he said, "Jesus, could you hand me the broom?" These eight verses provide us with a teaching opportunity to trust the Lord and to trust His Word. To, by faith, trust His words that are recorded and preserved, completely perfect for us. Our opening verse in 105 gives us a picture of a person that's walking at night in the dark. Now, I'm talking about the dark that's out in the country, not in the city with the street lights and the security lights and the building lights and the car lights. You don't really have night in the city. You just have a continual dusk till the sun comes up. But in the country, when there's no moon or when it's really cloudy, you can't see your hand in front of your face. Some of you country folks are nodding your head. So I'm standing on the back porch, and I've got to go. And it's 50 yards from the back porch to the little house. Now, most of you don't have any earthly idea what I'm talking about. But when I read this verse in 105, my mind immediately goes to my grandmother's house in Hanson Switch, Jacob. Jacob saw the house. It's not there anymore. Went last Monday, and it's just the front porch there. But my mind goes back to those days. You see, my granddad passed away in 1950 when I was minus five. But his legacy still lived on. Nobody was ever able to convince him that it was progress to bring the outhouse inside the home where you lived. He never did get that concept. So when you were at grandma's, you still had to walk 50 yards behind the house when nature called. Without a light, you'd walk around for an hour and never find it. If you went left, you'd smack your head on one of the plum trees. If you went right, you'd be in the Johnson grass and your leg would be full of grass burrs. Or you could go wide and walk right by it and eventually get to the barbed wire fence at the back. So Grandma, she always had a lantern. And then when she got modern, she got a flashlight. Now, that lantern or flashlight wouldn't light up the whole acre around the house. It would light up just about a 3-foot circle around you to where you could see the little path that you had to walk on. But that's all that you needed. You don't need to see the end of the path. You'll see it when you get there. You just need to see where to take the next step, with the assumed reason that you will. I mean, would it make sense to shine the light up as far as you could see and then trip over the rock in front of you? Now, verses 105 and verses 105 and 112 are statements that connect the verses in between that are couplets. There's two statements made in from verses 106 to 111. So verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That statement is the beginning of your journey. of your walk with the Lord, of your life, that begins with salvation. Verse 112 is the end of your life on earth, in your earth suit, which is 2 Corinthians 5 says, a broken down tent. And it's an entrance into your inheritance in heaven and your heaven suit, which is a no maintenance mansion. The lamp and light is the Word of God. The lamp leads you out of the darkness of sin and spiritual blindness and into the light of salvation and spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge to keep you out of the darkness that you just came from. Your foot carries you to the cross. And there you pass from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, a kingdom of light. Don't lose your place, but go to 1 John, right before Revelation. Normally I just read the scripture, but I think it's important for you to see them yourself as well this morning. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. After he said, he's writing that your joy may be full, a fullness of joy. That's what the Lord intends for your life to be. How's that so far? If you're not experiencing a fullness of joy, you're not experiencing everything God has for you and what he saved you for. Right after that, he said in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin, Brother Robert. Now, in the day, we can clearly see the path that we're to walk in. We're no longer in darkness. Now the Word of God is clearly illuminated to where we can see God's will. Without any doubt, we know the path that he wants us to walk in. God's word gives us a light. It gives us knowledge. And that's great and that's wonderful. But what about the inclination of your will in verse 112? He said, I've inclined my heart. You see, if you don't commit and purpose in your heart to carry out and obey that knowledge of God's word in your everyday life and in your everyday living, then the knowledge and the understanding of God's word is vain. It's for nothing. You become like those in 2 Timothy 3, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It does you no good to know the knowledge of what temperature a hot stove is, or the physics of heat, if you don't incline your will not to touch it. We speak of the sufficiency of Scripture, yet we send our children off to schools to be indoctrinated with Marxist atheism, godless humanism, and godless philosophy, with no explanation of the danger and why that's wrong. We keep them home on Sunday night and Wednesday night to do homework and to get to bed early because school holds the preeminence over church and discipling. That teaches them to hold their careers and jobs in preeminence later. We teach them to choose their own paths, which will bring them happiness and financial success. And when the happiness eludes them, and it will, they turn to the world's solution of happiness in drugs and alcohol, immorality and gambling. And then we send them to 12-step programs and to psychology counselors. And when their chosen paths of happiness and financial success leads them into poverty and servitude and the hog pen, we send them to the government for help. And then in our churches, we send our young men who surrender to preach to a seminary where they learn that the Word of God is not the Word of God. Yes, sir, it doesn't get any happier than that. The Word of God is, you see, getting lip service on Sunday. Then it's not even open the other 6 days. Or what is open is a changed perversion of it. The Laodicean church of 2023 does not shine forth a reflection of the light of God's Word in our actions. Instead, we stumble along in the darkness alongside the lost and the dying neighbors and co-workers that we're around. Folks, that's not the life that the Lord has saved us to live. That's not the influence that He wants us to have on the world. Wake up and rise up and take God's word. Yes, learn it. Be discipled. That's the responsibility of the church. It's to disciple, Brother Donovan. But then live it. Incline your heart. Incline your will to obey and to live out what it says. Why else are you learning it? To hang a certificate on the wall? No, it's the blueprint. It's the operating manual of life. And without these instructions, you're going to wreck. Now, David makes a bold statement here in 105. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He's saying, number one, I will follow your word to be my guide. I will follow your word to be my guide. I will trust it to lead me into His will and onto His paths. In 106, he said, "I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments." He's saying, I'm committed to do this. Not just to learn, but to do what it says. To live it out in my everyday life, at home, on the job, and in the community. I'm committed to living life God's way, according to His will that He's revealed here in His Word. I've put my hand on the Bible. I've raised my other hand and I've swore an oath. I've entered into a covenant. I've said vows. I've made a solemn commitment. I've purposed in my heart. I've inclined, I've determined, I've set my will to do this. That's what he's saying in 106. He's not making a casual resolution in the flesh. He is saying something inside of me that governs me is changing from what I want to do to what God wants me to do. And he's resolute about it. Lord, you will be my Lord. instead of me. Ever done that, brethren? But look at the next verse in 107. He said, I am afflicted very much. Whoa. Wait a minute. So I follow the path that the Lord leads me, and I end up in affliction. Do you see the problem? Now, if you chose, you'd never go down that path. See, that's the problem with darkness and ignorance. You fall prey to deception and lies. The path you choose that starts off with temporary popularity and happiness is going to end up every time in misery, unhappiness, and pain. And the path that God chooses that starts off with affliction and persecution and difficulties ends up every time in rejoicing and happiness. So David said, not only will I follow your word to be my guide, but number two, I will trust your word to be my guard. I will trust your word to be my guard. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord. Make me alive in your life, according unto thy word. Except, I beseech thee, I beg you, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Free will offerings that were offerings that were not required by the law. You just became so filled with the love of God and how good he's been to you and how he's blessed you. You say, I just got to give something to the Lord to show how much I'm thankful and how much I appreciate him. The Lord says here, teach me thy statutes. David says, teach me thy statutes. He said, quicken me. He said, accept the free will offerings of my mouth. Give me your abundance of life, Lord, he's asking. Give me revival in the midst of this inward trouble that I'm going through. I will trust your word when I'm troubled. And I will still come and assemble with your people and praise you and worship you regardless of what's happening. Oh, I'm having trouble. That's not supposed to be. So, Lord, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read your Bible today. I'm not going to go to church. That'll show you. And the devil said, man, you're an easy mark. He said, I still need to be taught in order to keep growing, to be encouraged to keep on the path that the Lord is leading me on. I need to be reminded that if he leads me, he will also guard me. So I will trust his word and give him my life. And he'll give me his life and his protection and his comforting strength. Not just in the inward troubles, but also in the outward dangers. 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. My soul is continually in my hand. In other words, my life is continually in danger. Yet do I not forget thy word. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Yea, yet I erred not from thy precepts. You see, the darkness hates the light. The cloak of deception and lies will not take kindly to you shining the spotlight on them. Because it reveals who they are and what they're really doing. Trust God's word at all times. Luke Skywalker, trust your feelings. No. 1,000 times no. Your feelings will deceive you as much as the world will. Place all of your faith, your trust, your hope, your belief, and your confidence in God's word. And then finally, David says, I will follow your word to be my guide. I will trust your word to be my guard. And number three, I will take your word to be my gladness. I will take your word to be my gladness. 111, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage, something to pass on to my children and grandchildren. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. You ever been reading the Bible and you just started in rejoicing and worshiping? You say, preacher, what do you do really when you're reading through Leviticus? I say, I read it by faith. As he's describing how to cut the liver and place it over here and place that here, I'm going, woo, man, that's good. Yes, sir. I'm glad it ain't my liver. And I'm glad I don't have to eat it, sacrifice that thing and burn it up before somebody puts it in their mouth. Woo, that's good reading. And I just have a spell. Before I know it, I'm through Leviticus and I'm in that Numbers story again. And then when I pause a little bit in Leviticus, I begin to see something other than just all of those animals coming through. I see all 5 of the sacrifices of Jesus Christ, my Savior, that he went through on the cross. And all of a sudden in these obscure passages in Leviticus, the Holy Spirit opens up. And he shows me all the suffering that my Savior did in my place. That's what I'm talking about. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. The Word of God should be the joy of our hearts. Now, remember the foundational truth back in verse 2. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. There's a huge difference between seeking a blessing and seeking the one who blesses. Those who are blessed with the spiritual blessings from God, his love, his grace, his joy, his peace, are those who seek him with all their heart. And don't confuse God's joy with fleshly happiness. God's word in our rejoicing that comes, it comes from living out the life that he gave us, his way and in his will. That's the heritage that we should be passing on to the next generation. Are we? Do our children see us reading God's word? Or do they see us glued to the football game and say, shut up, don't interrupt me? The word of God should be our never-ending reward. 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. That's where the path leads. This is how the Lord leads us to walk by faith, He guides us in our walk. He guides us in our weakness in 107, our worship in 108. This is how the Lord guards us, by calming our fears in 109, counteracting our foes in 110. This is how the Lord gladdens us in our inheritance, verse 111, and in our inclination, verse 112. Understand what Scripture is and fully commit to it. Understand the right response to affliction and fully trust the Lord through it. And understand the end purpose of us learning the Word of God and living it out. The Christian life is a lifelong commitment to believing, receiving, and walking in the truths of God's Word. Put your faith into action. Now, let me close with Matthew chapter 5 before y'all start passing out bologna sandwiches. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. The Lord is speaking this morning, and He says to us, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." What path are you on? If it's not the Lord's path, it's not going to end well. The good thing about that, it's still not too late to change paths. Just turn around. Go back to the fork and take the other path. Have you inclined your heart, your will to the Lord? It starts with a solemn commitment to do so with God's power. God is not going to tell you to do something in His Word and then not give you the power and ability to do it. So let me ask you one more time. Have you made that ironclad commitment to the Lord to do His will instead of yours? If not, you're going to battle and debate every time a choice comes up. Settle it this morning. If you've never been born again, there's not a debate. There's no conflict. You just do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. But perhaps you've seen where that goes. And you say, "I don't want to go there." Give your heart, your life in salvation to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me, save me, come into my heart. Then govern my life." What a difference it'll make. And you'll find out, as you live life God's way, that's exactly how He designed life to be lived. So when you live it according to the designer, it works perfectly. When you try to do it, it works out like those things you try to put together without reading the instructions. They don't work. You've got all these parts left over. That's the training manual. Father, we thank You so much that You didn't save us and then just leave us to our own inventions. But Lord, You've clearly told us and revealed to us what we're to believe and how we're to live and live that belief out. Lord, we've never been in a generation that's had so much instruction, so much knowledge at their fingertips, but yet so little wisdom from the experience of that knowledge to make a difference in their lives. Lord, I pray that would change this morning. Lord, I pray you'd open up some folks' eyes to the world, and to the traps and snares that are laid, so that they might walk around it by seeing them clearly from your word. Lord, would you lead someone who has never done so to be saved this morning? Would you lead one of your people this morning that has never done so to fully commit their will to be governed by you instead of them? Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand.